Don't be afraid. Lock the doors. Turn out the lights. And climb into bed. It's time for Hillbilly Dead Time Stories.
From Dracula to True Blood, vampires are a spooky story staple that just won't die. Elements of science and medicine are also woven throughout vampire mythology, which once served as an explanation for frightening phenomena that mystified people for the bulk of human history. Though cultures across the globe had different names for mythical undead monsters that feast on the blood of the living, vampire is the most commonly used term. New Orleans has an incredibly haunted history, but did you also know that they are the birthplace of the American vampire? I know you're thinking that vampires originated in Transylvania with Vlad the Impaler back in the Middle Ages. Vlad is known to some as Dracula. At least that's who Dracula was based off of. And you'd be right. But New Orleans is home to the American vampire. A very different vampire, especially the accent. Situated only 3 blocks away from the Mississippi River is the Ursuline Convent. It's the oldest structure west of the Mississippi River, and also home to those elusive vampires, still haunting the streets of the French Quarter even today. The legend goes back all the way to the 18th century, when the city's founder, Jean-Baptiste Lamon Bienville, was in need of a suitable woman to marry the male settlers in New Orleans. He wrote a letter to King Louis in France asking for marriageable women, and his request was accepted. They arrived in 1728. The port of New Orleans bustled with activity. The shouting of men, the stamping of hooves of the horses, the scraping of boxes as the ships were unloaded. With a group of young women aboard the ship, New Orleans was a taste of the forbidden, of the unknown. The women were ushered down the wooden plank onto the soiled ground. They each clutched a coffin-shaped chest that held all of their belongings. After nearly 6 months traversing the rough waters of the Atlantic Ocean, the women were eager to make their arrival. Eager and perhaps also a bit nervous about their welcome. Handpicked by the Bishop of Quebec on order of the French King, the young women were all appropriate age and background. On their agenda was only one thing: to make a good match and marry one of the French colonists inhabiting the budding Louisiana colony. Upon the first sight of them, rumors began to circulate through the town. The women were pale, their skin glistening under the heat of the Louisiana sun. Some were sick from their travels, and as we mentioned, they carried their belongings in luggages shaped like caskets. Befittingly, they were named the Casket Girls. They were all shepherded along to the Ursuline Convent where the nuns would watch over them until their weddings could be arranged. It's said that the casket girls brought something with them in those casket-shaped suitcases. They had brought with them the undead. The fate of these women were not what was expected. The local men in the Vieux Carré gravely disrespected the women. Some were placed into unwanted marriages, only to be mistreated by their husbands. Others, upon finding themselves alone and unwed, were forced into prostitution. The French king had had enough. He demanded that the girls be returned to France. The Sisters of the Ursuline Convent took all the casket-shaped chests up to the 3rd floor of the convent. Up until this time, the windows and the door to the 3rd floor had always been sealed shut. and they remained so at this time as well. But a short time later, when the nuns returned to the third floor, they found that the chests, well, they were completely empty. A thorough search of the upstairs did not yield any of the belongings. Fearing that the young women might have been something other than what they said they were, the Ursuline nuns spared no expense in making sure that nothing ever left that third floor space. The doors were bolted shut, the nails to the windows were blessed by the Pope himself and locked in place. The whispering began again, but this time they added one more word: vampire. In 1978, two paranormal investigators seeking answers to whether the women, in fact, had been vampires, camped out directly in front of the old Ursuline convent. They had previously been kicked off of the property for loitering, but decided to stay the night and see if they could experience anything right outside of the walls themselves. They aimed their cameras up to the elusive third floor of the convent, so they might be lucky enough to catch a picture of the bolted windows swinging open, with that letting loose the vampires. With that being said, the two fell asleep, and in their slumber, they failed to notice the third floor shutters, the same ones which had been locked shut by the blessed nails. They opened and they shut. They opened and they shut. The recording cameras whirled to a stop as the scene faded to black. The next morning, the bodies of the investigators were found. Their bodies had been torn open, ravaged as if by the claws of an animal, their bodies completely drained of blood. The question is, did any of this really happen? For the so-called casket girls, the rumors of vampires and the undead has no basis in truth. Rumors of vampirism is a much newer addition, perhaps exacerbated by Anne Rice. Fans immediately began to suspect the casket girls were actually vampires being transported in the chest of the old world to New Orleans. I would suggest if you visit New Orleans in the Ursuline convent, maybe you wear a couple of cloves of garlic just in case.
Daddy has to take on a vampire.